this is the starting five, and one place that has been very good to us in the starting five is the Fan 590. They have produced many of the guests that we like to call upon, and this is one of them. Alex Xero of the Fan 590 joins us to talk about Brian Colangelo's State of the Raptor Address Day and other things Raptors. So welcome, Alex.
James, what's up, my man? I feel kind of honored that I'm the first guest following the post-mortem from Brian Colangelo, so I feel very blessed to be here with you.
That is exciting for you, I'm sure. We tried to get BC, but, you know, we have a limited budget here at the Dino Nation blog, so...
I hear you. I get it. I understand. Cool with it. Don't worry.
But what did you think of what Brian Colangelo had to say? I mean, he had a lot to say, including Jay Triano's going to be back, and a whole bunch of other things. So just some general thoughts before we get into specifics.
Well, you know, I think most of it was expected. You know, I think most of us expected a pretty lengthy press conference, and I think you have to give Brian credit for staying there. I think it was over an hour is how long the press conference took. But, you know, I think the one thing I took away from that was when Brian first started talking about Chris Bosh, and look, I could be totally wrong about this. This is just how I kind of read Brian Colangelo today, but I think when he first started talking about Chris Bosh and his little diatribe off the top, I don't think he mentioned Chris Bosh once. I think the media, when they started asking questions, is when he really started going at least in depth on the Chris Bosh situation. But at least I got the feeling that he knows deep down there's a pretty good chance Chris Bosh is going to go, and I think he's just readying himself for you know, the possibility of years down the road of this Raptor team having to move forward without Chris Bosh. So, you know, I think when he started talking about Chris Bosh and you know, the sign and trade and the Raptors are always ready and they're always prepared, I got the idea that he knows that Chris Bosh is going, that he knows that Chris Bosh knows that CB4 is going. So, you know, I think what I took away from it was he's got a lot of work to do, and he's, you know, he's prepared for it. You know, what he said today, it's true. Last year, there was pretty much no hope at all from Raptors fans, and he found a way to at least generate buzz through the offseason, and the sign and trade with Hedo Turkoglu was pretty much how he was able to do so. And he's going to have to do the same thing this year, and I don't know how he's going to do it. I think a lot of Raptor fans are wondering how exactly he's going to pull it off, but I think he's come to the conclusion that Chris Bosh is going, because if you're CB4 and you weigh your pros and your cons, there are too many pros to leaving our fine city than staying.
And then just, we're going to take a step away from the Raptors just for a second, but it's something that I had wrote about when Chris actually spoke to the media. And I find it fascinating when you get Bosh up there and when you get Colangelo up there, and both of them don't really want to spill too much to the media. And then you have the media trying to get the answer to the most obvious question, which is whether Chris Bosh is going to stay. You cover stuff for the Fan 590. What's that like from your side of it, on the media side of it?
Well, I think I understand it. You know, Chris Bosh says he doesn't know what he's going to do, and perhaps he's right. I think he knows. I think he's gone. But, you know, I think while Chris Bosh is still in the city and while there's still an opportunity on his end to stick around, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for him to come out and say, yeah, you know what, I'm gone. You know, I'll sign a deal and I'll ask Brian Colangelo for a trade to four or five other cities. It doesn't make sense from an athlete's perspective, and it doesn't make sense from Brian Colangelo's perspective to come out and say such a thing if, you know, he said today he doesn't know what Chris Bosh is going to do, and perhaps he's right. So if that's the case, then, you know, us guys in the media have no other choice but to either speculate or just understand that this is still to be played out. So we can still try to evaluate what this team can look like come next October, when they open up the 2010-2011 campaign. But the reality is that there's still a lot to be determined. So there's only so much us in the media can do right now. I think all we can do is look back on what was a really unsuccessful, disappointing season. And the Raptors, with you know, their team intact pretty much the entire season, granted those 12 games that Chris Bosh was out, they could not leap over the Chicago Bulls for eighth in the Eastern Conference, a Chicago team that everyone, and I mean everyone, after the trade deadline in this city was saying was absolutely god-awful. So, you know, we can't really do much on the Chris Bosh end to this point. We can just look back on the 2009-2010 season. That was very, very frustrating for Raptor fans.
And then one of the things that was part of that frustration for a lot of Raptor fans was the coach of this team, Jay Triano, who one of the things that was newsworthy coming out of this, Brian Colangelo gave not just an endorsement, he said flat out, Jay Triano is the coach of this basketball team. I do not foresee making a change. Surprised that he was that bold in what he said, and are you surprised Jay's going to be back?
No, I'm not terribly surprised. To be honest, I don't know who can come in right now with a team that isn't really built together yet for the 2010-2011 season, because there's so much that can change. But look, I'll say this. If there is a veteran coach out there that mysteriously is looking for a job and they have a strong cachet of winning, then I think Brian Colangelo has to do whatever he can to better this team. And if that means relieving Jay Triano of his duties, then that's what he has to do. But I think Brian's in the position right now where he looks at the available coaches and he feels, you know what, Jay Triano was in for 1 year. He would probably do a lot of things over again. Jay said that last week when he met with the media following the season. Clearly there was a disconnect, especially with Hito Turkoglu, the point guard situation. It's after one full season in the NBA, I'm not surprised that Brian Colangelo is willing to give Jay Triano another chance. Having said that, would this group be managed differently if there was a veteran coach here? Perhaps. I think we can only speculate on that. But to be honest, I know Jay Triano didn't have a strong year. Those players didn't have a strong year. But I'm not surprised that Brian Colangelo is going to give him another shot to try and get this team back to the playoffs.
And is part of that tied to the fact that Chris Bosh might not be back?
Well, perhaps. I think even if Chris Bosh does come back, I think he'd be fine with Jay Triano as a head coach. I think if Chris has any concerns, if he decides to commit his future further in Toronto, it's the pieces that are around him. And I'm not sure Jay Triano would necessarily be among the top concerns for Chris Bosh. So I think if CB4 comes back, I think on the top of his list, it's, you know, get your point guard situation figured out. Not sure if going forward if Hito Turkoglu should be the starting three down the road, but if you can find somehow to give you consistent minutes at that spot, that's what needs to happen. So, you know, if I'm CB4, get those pieces in. If you have to spend over the luxury tax like it was talked about today, that's what's going to have to happen. But, you know, from my perspective, I think Chris Bosh would be okay with Jay Triano coming back. It's the pieces around him. And ultimately, that's one of the reasons why this team for the second straight year is not in the postseason.
But that being said, one of the things with the coach that was before Jay Triano in Sam Mitchell, he seemed to push Bosh, and Bosh would allow him to push him. I'm not sure if we get that same relationship where Triano pushes Bosh to be the best that he can be. And even if Chris maybe doesn't see it himself, maybe Sam Mitchell was a bit more beneficial or someone like him than a Jay Triano would be.
Well, you know what? It's tough for me to say, James, because I'm not around that team as close as, you know, I guess I would like to be. My work commitments have me other places. You may be right, but, you know, Chris did have amazing numbers the first month or so this season. And, you know, there have been people talking about a lack of enthusiasm playing down the stretch. It seemed, anyways, today that Brian Colangelo was insinuating that the whole trade thing was kind of playing with Chris Bosh's mind. But I think looking at Chris's performance this year, there were times where, yeah, he hangs onto the ball too long. There were stretches where he didn't play well. But from the most part, you know, you put up career numbers. And I'm not sure there was much more that Chris Bosh could do, especially this season. Again, I think it's the guys around him who ultimately didn't show up. And we'll probably talk about this team defensively, but that also played a role. So, you know, I'm not sure if Jay Triano can be faulted for not pushing Chris's buttons. I wasn't there really on a consistent basis to witness that. But I think all in all, Chris Bosh had a pretty good year.
And then before we get to the defense, which, yes, we will talk to, and this will actually touch on that a bit, but we are back to Groundhog Day again with the point guard situation here in Toronto. Just delete the name TJ Ford, insert the name Jared Jack, and we are right back to square one where we started. And now there's some suggestion of one is going to stay, one is going to go. And Doug Smith in an article suggested Jose is going to be the guy to stay. How can he be the guy to stay when the major problem for this team was defense, and he is a big part of that?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, if you have to pick between the two and you ask me, I think all in all, Jarrett Jack, you know, they both struggled this year. Just say that, but I think all in all, I think Jarrett Jack had a bit of a better year. And if you have to decide on the two of them, I mean, can Jose get you the best in return for a trade in the off season? I mean, his 09-10 season wasn't very good. Brian Colangelo talked about a lack of confidence today that Jose seemed to have throughout the entire year, and it looked like the point guard situation did affect him. So, you know, if you ask me, I think Jarrett Jack kind of finished this season stronger than Jose Calderon, although towards the end it was Jarrett Jack coming off the bench, and he at least seemed to excel in that second unit role. But, you know, if you have to choose between the two, I think I would just choose Jarrett Jack. I think overall he's the better point guard. I think with the group that is at least around him right now, I think the Raptors would benefit from him playing more minutes than Jose Calderon. But at this point, what can you get for Jose after a terrible season? I mean, the numbers weren't there. Defensively, he was just as bad as he's been his entire season here in Toronto. You know, I'm not sure what you can get for Jose right now. So it's tough, but if you're asking me and you have to pick one, you know, Jarrett Jack would be the guy. But again, you know, are you going to be a serious playoff contender with Jarrett Jack as your starting point guard for the full 82 games? And I'm not convinced just because we haven't seen Jarrett do that here in Toronto. So, you know, once again, like you said, this point guard situation in this city, for whatever reason, just cannot go away. And it gets pretty annoying because you would think Brian Colangelo at this point would get someone in there who can be a starting point guard for 82 games. But, you know, here we go again.
Yeah, it seems like we get guys who are kind of almost there and not there, and it's so close between them that it becomes a divisive thing, not only within this team sometimes, but within this fan base.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, the way I look at it is the teams that are heavy contenders right now, you know, they either have a pretty strong guy at the two or three spot, or even look at, you know, what the Utah Jazz are doing right now. You know, they have their power forward in Carlos Boozer, and they have their guy in Deron Williams, who a couple of times this year, at least when the Raptors took on the Jazz, he looked like, you know, one of the best players in all the NBA. So ultimately, if you can have at least, you know, one of the better point guards in the league or one of the better swingmen in the league, I think you're going places. But in the Raptors' case, they don't have a top guy to play the one position. They don't have a top guy to play the three position. And at the two position, they're still kind of, you know, looking at Sonny Williams, looking at DeMar DeRozan. There's still options there. So ideally, if you can get a top guy at your point guard spot or a top guy at your three spot, then I think there's something to build around. But the makeup of this team is so interesting with Chris Bosh at the four and Andrea Bargnani at the five. If Chris Bosh decides to go, you know, we got to see what Brian Colangelo can pick up in a sign and trade, because there's still many, many things on this team that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and then assuming that you don't bring back a guy who is a quote-unquote star, Bargnani becomes your number one guy and that face of the franchise. Is that something that you think he can handle and deal with?
I don't know. Right now, it doesn't look like that, because he's had a few opportunities when Bosh has gone down to try and step up and be a leader on this team is maybe something that Andrea shouldn't have to warrant. But the fact of the matter is, if Chris Bosh goes, he's their best player. So I think he's gonna have to take that into account, no matter how he feels about being a leader on this team. So far, it hasn't worked out. And again, you know, Brian Colangelo used the word potential today when talking about Bargnani and when talking about the contract he was given. And I'm a big Bargnani guy. I've kind of always been on the side of the fence where I've wanted fans to show a little more patience with Bargnani, because he's still so young. But at this point, he's, what, 24, 25 years old. He had I don't know how you would describe his season. Up and down, maybe, is the best way to go. But there were too many games this year where he wasn't as effective on the glass as the Raptors wanted him to be. And there were too many, you know, 2-for-8, 2-for-9 games. He would start the game shooting very poorly. Perhaps he would end up with, you know, 14, 15 points. But, you know, they need him with that contract now. They need him to be a go-to guy, especially if Chris Bosh goes. And I can sit here and say, I don't know if he can be that go-to guy yet. And I think the Raptors still don't know if he can be that go-to guy.
Yeah, and Brian Colangelo, actually, one of the points he made in that press conference was defending that contract, which, I don't know. But one of the other things he mentioned, and this was brought up actually by Jeff Blair in the Globe and Mail, and Brian Colangelo brought up this topic in his press conference today, the fact that there seems to be a divide in that locker room between the European players and the North American players, and he brought up the name of Anthony Parker as a guy who used to bridge that gap, and that clearly wasn't there this year. In Jeff Blair's article, he suggested this team has gone to Euro. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think, honestly, that's reading too much into it. I like to keep things more more symptomatic for that fact. And, you know, you could have, you know, you could have, let's see, Dirk Nowitzki, Andre, you know, put 5 Euros together, 5 of the best players in the NBA, and I think you could have a pretty competitive team. I don't think that's the case. I think the case is Brian Colangelo has put together a team that can't play defense. Ultimately, if we're looking at the main issue for why it hasn't worked here in quite some time, I don't think it has to deal with the Europeans. I think that's reading too much into it. This team, James, can't play defense. And if you can't play defense in this league, you are going to get killed. You can look at the Europeans. You can look at the point guards. You can look at a whole bunch of issues this year. But, you know, I talked a lot to Jack Armstrong on the radio this season, and I value every single word that coach says because I think he's one of the smarter guys that we have in the business right now. And he would constantly drill it in my head that it's defense, defense, defense. That's the issue. Not the Europeans. It's not the point guard situation. Look, there are a multitude of things that played into the Raptors finishing ninth this year. I understand that. But to pinpoint it to, well, there's too many Europeans on this team, I don't buy it. This is a collective group, Europeans, North Americans, and all, who couldn't play defense. And, James, that's the reason why this team could not finish ahead of Chicago, the Bulls, for eighth in the Eastern Conference. Look at the game a couple of Sundays ago against Chicago. Look at the game a few weeks ago against Golden State. You know, when you're allowing the Warriors, who have nothing to play for, to come into your own barn and put up nearly 130 points, that is the focal point of team not succeeding. So we talk a lot about Chris Bosh and what he's going to do in the offseason. Brian Colangelo has to find a way to get this team and Jay Triano to play defense, because the same thing is going to happen next year. It doesn't matter how many tweaks Colangelo is going to make to this roster. If they can't play defense, it's a moot point. They're going to be on the outside looking in once again, or, like many people thought this year, they would finish eighth in the Eastern Conference, take on the Cavaliers in the first round, and humiliatingly get swept in 4 games by Cleveland.
And judging by how the Bulls did in that first game, that's probably exactly what would happen, dude.
Yeah, you put Anton Jameson and AP and Delonte West and Mo Williams, and oh man, it's ridiculous the amount of talent they have over there. And you know, I think in large part AP was brought in there for the playoffs, and you know what, I think he's going to fit like a glove, because they're going to win 16 games. I think they're going to find a way to win the entire thing.
And I thank you for that, sir, because Cleveland was my preseason prediction to win the finals. Wow. And that would mean 2 years in a row I got it right, so I'd be super excited, because I had the finals last year. I had Lakers over Orlando. I got Cleveland over L.A. this year, so I'm looking
good.
I sure
hope you're putting some money down on that. You sound pretty confident on what you're. I'm sure you went to Vegas and put some dollars down.
No, I never do that, because if you've covered sports for long enough, you realize that strange things happen. So I stay away from that whole put a couple shekels on it. It doesn't work out for you.
I hear it. Better keep it in the wallet. Better serve there.
Indeed, and you can spend it on some things. And one of the things, too, that was a big topic of Brian Colangelo's press conference, talking about spending and money, was the fact of should this team be a tax team or not a tax team. And Bosch brought it up pretty much as a condition to him staying, because he said a championship team is a luxury tax team. And do you agree with that? And do you think MLSE, even though we've heard it over and over again that they're willing to, will we see the day where they actually do it and become a tax team?
Yeah, I think they will, especially if Chris goes, because I think this is such an intriguing time now. Well, I mean, our city is it's so pathetic for winners looking at sports franchises. But I don't know if they're at a crossroads right now with their fans, but clearly Raptor fans right now are extremely frustrated because, you know, they have in a GM, Brian Colangelo, who has made so many moves to this team, and over again, it's, you know, this Raptor franchise has gone to the postseason a few times. They've exceeded the first round once, and that is as good as it has gotten. So I think there was a lot of hype over the last couple of years, and especially if Chris Bosh goes, you know, you could probably get some decent pieces back, but I don't think you can afford to just lollygag over the next year or two. You know, if you have to spend over the cap and bite the bullet, then I think Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment have to do that. You know, what guys Brian Colangelo can go out and get, it's a good question. But I think in order to keep the fan base alive, to keep them interested, to keep, you know, the attendance pretty high, and all in all, I think the Raptors actually did pretty good attendance-wise this year, all things considered. But I don't think there's any question. If Chris stays, then yeah, you got to spend over and you got to build around him. If Chris goes, then you get the pieces in the sign and trade. You have Andrea here. Perhaps you can sign Amir Johnson, Sonny Weems for another couple of years. Perhaps he can evolve into something that we didn't think was going to be possible when they first acquired him last year. Then yeah, you have to spend over the tax and build, because right now there isn't enough. And if Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment wants to keep this team intriguing with the core that they have right now, they still need to add to it, and that means they're going to have to spend over the luxury tap. And a big reason for that is the contracts too. Guys like Jose, Andrea, and Hito Turkoglu.
Yeah, that's about $150 million worth of coin there, give or take a shekel here and there. But when you look at it, just to close this out, for the casual fan, what kind of a PR hit is it for MLSC and the Raptors if Chris Bosh isn't back?
I think it's a pretty big hit. And I know Chris has taken a lot of heat for not being able to take this team into the promised land, or the second round of the playoffs, as we like to say here in Toronto. But I think the fact of the matter is, I think deep down Chris knows that he is not a one guy. He is probably more of a 1A guy. But you know, the fact that the Raptors were unable to build around him, at least to me, is the most disappointing thing. And if you take away 23 points and 11 rebounds a game, man, that is not easily replaceable. So, you know, I think it will hurt. You know, if Brian Colangelo brings back a possible point guard of the future, maybe someone who can play that wing spot, okay, you know, maybe it won't be so bad, but Chris Bosh is a guy that you can win with. He's not your LeBron James type of guy. He's not your Kobe type of guy. He's not your Kevin Durant type of guy. But if you build smartly and you build properly around him, he is a key piece to being a winning basketball team. And if Chris decides to go, I think it will be a PR hit. And I think the most unfortunate thing over the last couple of years, when Chris has continued to elevate his game, is that when you look around him, there simply isn't enough. And I think if Chris goes, the PR hit will be there. And if Chris goes, I don't know how Brian Colangelo is going to replace the double-double that CB4 seems to put on a game-by-game basis. But I don't buy this whole, he's not a leader, he hasn't taken this team past the first round. I think Chris Bosh did all he could. If he, in fact, has played his last game in a Raptor uniform, I think he did all he could. He put enough effort into this team to show that he really cared. And if he goes, I don't know how this team's going to look next year, but Brian Colangelo has a lot of work on his plate.
And it will add to the legacy of Damon, T-Mac, Vince Carter, and so on and so on. And that becomes a barrier going forward when, you know, like say a guy like DeMar DeRozan, let's say he gets good and becomes good enough that he's considered a star player. We're going to go through this all over again when DeMar's contract's up.
Yeah, and I think if Raptor fans are still trying to figure out, and you know, we don't really like to look into the mind of Chris Bosh because it's almost pointless, but still, if you look at what he said last week, you know what, he's 26 years old, he came out and said, look, I don't know how many years I have left at this level, you know, who knows if an injury could happen, you know, it can happen anytime. And Chris Bosh, I think in the back of his mind, he's kind of wondering, you know, how many years he has left at an extremely high level. And when is the best time to want to win a championship? And I think we went through through this entire thing with the Roy Halladay situation, and I think to a point it's comparable. But if Chris Bosch wants to win now, if he's 26, and if he doesn't mind being the guy in the city, and he can get that here in Toronto, he can't get that other places. But I don't think he cares if he's got a legitimate shot at winning an NBA title. So if Chris Bosch is saying those type of things where, you know, he's not getting old, but he's getting to the point where he has to make decisions like this. And with the Roy Halladay situation, Roy was in his early 30s, but Roy now has an excellent chance at winning the entire thing, a World Series title with the Philadelphia Phillies. So, you know, I think Chris Bosch is, I think he's come to the conclusion he wants to win. He wants to win now, and he doesn't care if he's a 1A guy somewhere for one of the top four teams in the Western Conference. He's prepared to do that. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting offseason, James.
Yeah, and there's also the specter of a new CBA. So wherever Chris Bosch goes, he's going to want a long-term deal, and that makes it all the more harder for the Raptors to convince him to stay because he wants to commit to a long-term, you would imagine, given the uncertainty of the CBA.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, he'll sign the deal with the Raptors, I'm pretty sure of it. Obviously, that's how he gets his max money. So whether he stays here or signs the sign and trade, then you know he'll still get his $100+ million. But yeah, this is a crucial time in his career, and that's why you would think he's going to take a lot of thought into whether he wants to win somewhere soon or whether he wants to stick it out. But James, let's be honest: if he decides to stay, how closer is this team to winning a championship? I mean, I know we don't know some of the pieces that Brian Colangelo may bring in. We don't know some of the trades that could take place with guys like Jose maybe on his way out or Jared Jack on his way out. But there's still a long, long, long way to go before this team is even talked about as being an NBA champion. And again, it comes down to, can this team play defense? And even if Brian Colangelo makes a few moves to improve this team, you know, can this unit come together? Can they do it under Jay Triano? To me, it seems like there's just way, way too many questions if Chris Bosch is looking at staying here, and just another reason for why I think he will be an ex-Raptor come some point in mid-July.
Well, that about does it, although Brian Colangelo did say that he believes that this team is a lot closer than people think they are, and he said, like, we, as the media, are making a painting a very dark and gloomy picture. Let's hope he's right and we're wrong, because at the end of the day, we do want the Raptors to be a good team because it's fun to cover a good team.
I agree. And you know what? I'm going through this with the soccer team right now because I have pretty close ties with the station in Toronto FC, and it's the same thing. You know, it's 4 years into the franchise, so they're not as developed as the Raptors are, but, you know, it's the same thing. You know, we broadcast the games. We want to see the team do well, but ultimately the reality of it is, the soccer team's kind of stripped itself, and they almost have a brand new starting 11. So I agree. You know, I started at the station, I think, in 2006, and doing talk radio, I haven't really talked about playoff teams in the city. And that was the one thing I wanted come the new year, where if there was one thing I could have, it was a playoff team in our city just to talk about on the radio. And damn it, might have to wait until Toronto FC makes the postseason. And I thought the Raptors were going to get in.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you. I know nothing about